You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Older football fans hearing the Cowboys and Steelers evokes memories of some of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. And tonight, Cowboys-Steelers game is not that. The Hall of Fame game. It's preseason to the preseason. Mason Rudolph starts for Pittsburgh. Dallas's backup is Garrett Gilbert. I don't know how much they're going to play in the fall, but you get your opportunity, and hey, it's football. It's the Cowboys. And they're going to be featured on Hard Knocks this year. Maybe we see something tonight that will show up on the show next Tuesday. The Steelers side, we get to see the former first-round pick Dwayne Haskins trying to rebuild his career, but this game is really a reminder of how close we are to the real thing. The NFL will probably have interviews with the Hall of Fame inductees on the sidelines during the game. Any excuse to talk football is fun, even if it's not the highest level on the field coming up tonight. And it's a busy weekend. You have 2 years of Hall of Fame inductees. So it's a long weekend with, I think, 19 speeches. Saw where Tom Brady is going to show up when Peyton Manning gives his speech, which is pretty cool. And I don't know. How does that affect Peyton if he knows Brady's out there? I don't think he's going to be heckling. But is Brady taking notes of that's how you give a Hall of Fame speech? Because Brady, 5, 6, 7 years from now, will be there in Canton. Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Called it.
Yes, McLovin.
But you know he'll be there before Brady. Eli, he's going to be there.
And?
I just think it's funny that Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame before Brady.
Well, but if you said to Eli, would you prefer to keep playing and delay your Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to bring this. Is there any chance that people are going to cool on Eli as a Hall of Famer in 4 years?
I don't know. I mean, he won the 2 Super Bowls against the Patriots. That certainly helps. He plays for the Giants, one of the Blue Bloods. I think the longer you have that separation of what he did as a quarterback to going into the Hall of Fame, that's when you start to look at the numbers and you go, wait, he only threw 300 touchdowns? You know, that's where it gets a little interesting when it, you know, even stats now with all of these sports, where if you're a wide receiver and you don't get 80 catches, it's like, man, what happened to you? Or if you're a quarterback and you don't throw for 4,000 yards, man, what happened to you? Or 30 touchdowns. It just changed dramatically. Yes, Todd?
Does Peyton have a few different speeches that he goes up with? This way he can call Omaha, Omaha, and call an audible and go, you know, I'm going to go with the third one that I wrote.
Okay. All right. You used that a couple of weeks ago.
He may have repurposed that a little bit.
Yeah, he brought it back. The Premier League is coming back beginning Friday, August 13th. Don't miss out on all the action all year long. The Premier League is on NBC, NBCSN, and Peacock. The United States men's Olympic basketball team will face France for the gold medal. Slovenia with Luka Doncic lost the game to France earlier this morning. Luka had 16 points, 18 assists. Might have been bothered by a wrist injury in the first half of that game. Came down to the final possession. Luka did not take that shot, but France moves on and plays Team USA. Max Scherzer made his debut for the Dodgers last night. Well, that's how you make a debut. You face the Astros in front of 52,000. You strike out 10, and you strike out Jose Altuve 3 times. Here's Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, on Max Scherzer's performance.
It was awesome. It was fantastic. The buzz in the crowd from the first pitch, him taking the mound, getting a curtain call, which I think, from what I understand, that was the first one of his career. And so for him to get a curtain call from the fans and kind of go to his hat, a little nod to the Dodgers and the LA, superstar player. And the most important thing for him was we won a ball game.
And you got to wait when you're getting Clayton Kershaw back, when you're getting Trevor Bauer back, if you get everybody back, and then are you the team to beat as we move forward? LeBron James sent out a tweet, and he's since deleted the tweet. He says, keep talking about my squad, our personnel, ages, the way they play. We're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, exclamation points. Do me a favor, one favor, please, exclamation points. And I mean, please, Keep that same narrative energy, capital letters, when it begins, exclamation point. That's all I ask, hashtag thank you. Okay. Like, is it that really offensive here? Does it hurt? You're backing your new teammates, but let's be honest. You're an old team. Now, you did bring in a couple of younger players, but that's an old team. But why delete it? Unless deleting it makes it sound more important. Like, hey, I said this, and maybe I'm going to take that back. Like, really? Like, that bothers you? Exclamation points, please. That same energy. How about just let it sit? Who cares what the opinion is? Like, you don't have to, he doesn't have to tweet about everything. You could just say, hey, look forward to my guys. We're the team to beat. Whatever you want to say. But it's like it hurt his feelings here that people are going, man, that's an old roster. It is. Trying to put all these pieces together. Tricky. Trying to look at who plays what role and when they play that role. True. Yes, McLovin.
This is just like great athletes finding bulletin board material. Like Michael Jordan is still doing this every day. Like he's just finding something to be mad about so he can go out and kill it next year.
Yeah, but then don't delete it.
Yeah, that is weird.
I have no problem. You want to stick up for your guys? Stick up for your guys. Great. But don't delete it. Like, oh, I never should have said that. Or I regret. Or, I was emotional at the time. Man, it is an old team. Yeah, Paul.
Luckily for LeBron, that tweet is gone forever and nobody will save it and use it against him in the future. Lucky for him.
Yes, Tom.
Or you could just learn from Durant and not be sensitive and just not send out anything. Just, why do you have to respond at all? I don't even know why some of these guys even have a Twitter account.
Wait, Durant does do this.
I'm saying he should do the opposite. He should learn from the reaction to Kevin Durant doing that.
Okay.
And how sensitive he is. It's like, why even bother? I'm shocked that, unless it's an ego thing, how many millions of followers I can have. When you make a certain amount of money and you've got that level of fame, why even have social media at that point? What's the point? Only something negative can come of having social media.
Well, he uses it for a variety of reasons. I mean, that's a great business opportunity. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, he promoted Space Jam big time on social media.
Yeah, see.
And you have people like the one really famous one is Ronaldo. He makes more money on Instagram than he does his salary playing the game.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he there was, I don't know if he does every year, but I know maybe last year or the year before, something like that, he made more money through ads on Instagram than his actual salary from playing.
Wow. Yeah, McLovin.
I meant to ask this yesterday. Is this Lakers team somewhat like the Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, Shaq Lakers team? Is there a fear that it's going to be like that old dream team kind of thing?
Well, I don't think you had the marquee names, with Gary Payton and Karl Malone. Dwight Howard, nobody's expecting anything out of Dwight Howard. Like the way it used to be, 10 years ago with Dwight Howard. Melo. You're expecting him to play 20, 25 minutes and get you 14 points a game. I just think trying to mesh all of these different personalities and to do that, and they're all, the players you just got are on one-year contracts. So you're saying, come on in for 1 year, maybe we win a championship, and then you go your separate ways. That's the tricky part of this. Do you keep Malik Monk because he's young? Look at something, Ariza, do you want him more than 1 year? Marc Gasol, do you want him more than 1 year? Dwight Howard, do you want him more than 1 year? Do you want to keep Kent Bazemore? Like, those are the things where, okay, it's Russell Westbrook, it's LeBron, and it's AD, and it just feels like next year we're going to have a whole new group that comes in there. But trying to get the personalities together and everybody knows their role, it's one thing to know your role, and then the game starts. And then the playoffs start, and then things change dramatically. And that's what I'm curious about, trying to put this all together. And I think LeBron, when LeBron's the underdog, that's when he's dangerous. We got down to Miami, I don't know, not one title, not two titles, not three titles. And like, shut up. No? And not that you could ease into it, but you didn't have to have a Boys to Men concert there where you got smoke shows and light shows and not one, not two. You're like, lower the expectations because they didn't win the first year. Yes.
But isn't that all just leads into why you do things like delete a tweet? Because when you're somebody like LeBron, everything that you say is going to be, so, okay, file that for later. Oh, what happened to keep the old guys around, huh, LeBron? Well, what happened there? And it's going to lead sports media for 24 hours.
Yeah,
oh, what happened to go count the ages, huh, LeBron?
Whose voice is that?
Average. What happened? Thought it was a dream team, huh?
That's your hot take voice, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, what happened?
Yes.
Well, oh, gotcha.
Yes, McLeod.
See, I like Kevin Durant's completely unleashed. Like, he does not, like, LeBron's pretty corporate on his thing. Like, that was, Kevin Durant, like, I saw one last year where he was accused of going to a girl's DMs, and he said, oh, my bad, someone must have hacked my phone when I went into your girlfriend's DMs. Like, he's hysterically funny, just like a normal person.
But he's a teenager. Like, he comes off as just, you know, everything bothers him and everything is bigger and, you know, that's horrible what you said and I'm coming after you. Like, you got some guy sitting there in his, you know, apartment and he's tweeting Kevin Durant and then Durant's now coming after you. You know, Jimmy Lipper's sitting in his apartment in Spokane and he's like, I'm going to send this out to Kate. Oh, Katie's coming after me. Yeah, see.
Because what happens is you can ignore the 999 of them, but all of a sudden, for some reason, that 1,000th, that guy, that person got to you, and you like click on their profile. They have, you know, 14 followers or whatever, and you're like, you know what? I don't care. I want this dude to know that I think they're a loser.
I'm going to take him down,
and I'm going to go after. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. I know that. That's why I'm not on Twitter. Yes, Todd.
I still don't understand how you don't ignore it or block it. Even that 1,000th one, no matter how evil it is or how mean, or you think you have the perfect comeback for it, the chance that someone's going to take it the wrong way. If you're playing, if you're an all-star playing in the outfield and they're screaming all kinds of things at you, are you really going to turn around? That's exactly what they want. You have to just continue to ignore it.
You're bothered by what people say.
I'm not saying me. I'm okay. Mr. Sensitive. Anyone that has a normal amount of sensitivity in their life where you can get past things and not let it affect you that way, just ignore it.
It's the Cowboys and Steelers coming up tonight, the Hall of Fame game. We'll check in with the Cowboys, the former NFL quarterback, now an analyst for the Cowboys Radio Network, Babe Laufenberg, back on the program. We'll check in with the Dodgers, Charlie Steiner, the voice of the Dodgers. And once again, Team USA will face France coming up for the gold medal. Poll question, McLovin, and we stand with what we did for the first hour.
I think we should mix it up. The question was, who is the most iconic NFL team? And the Packers edged the Steelers, Cowboys third, then the Raiders.
Okay.
Here's a thought question. Best preseason, the NFL, Major League Baseball spring training, or your favorite, NBA Summer League?
I did watch Summer League again last night. I did. I don't know if I have an MVP yet of the Summer League, but I was watching.
Well, you could be very fooled by Summer League. I remember I thought Kevin Knox was the real deal.
Yeah. Where has he been on the Knicks?
Yeah, I was just like 7 points a game.
I know. I mean, where is Frank Ntilikina?
By the way, he's not even on the French team. I think he's hurt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, watching the French. And, of course, taking 4 years of French in high school, I am fluent in French. Like, and anybody who took those classes in high school where you have to put on the headphones and then you repeat over and over and over, all you do is know phrases. So I just know, oui, il faut que je cherche un livre. And I think that means, why don't you open your books, please? Hey, idiot. Open your book. Something like that. I think that's what it means. Yes, Tom.
That could really help when you're lost in Paris or you're in some kind of emergency. You're asking somebody about their books or their crayons or something.
We? Il faut que je cherche un livre. That's all I know. I need help. Do you know what that means? No, I do not. I remember getting directions in Ireland, and the guy would say, on straight. He was giving us directions to go to a golf course. And I didn't know what on straight mean. I thought he said, I'm straight. Like, we didn't know. There's four of us in the car, and we're trying to figure out where we're going. And we said, hey, we're going to this golf course. We're going to Old Head. And he would go, you know, they're here on straight. And then he'd go, on straight. And I'd go, I don't know what on. So it just meant go straight, but he would say on straight.
Were you flirting with him? That you thought he was saying I'm straight?
No. I just didn't understand what he. I kept asking questions like, okay, so keep going this way and then on straight. And like I'm saying on straight. He goes, yes, on straight. And I go, okay. I mean, we eventually found the golf course, but had no idea what on straight meant. Yes, McLovin.
I visited Montreal when I was a teenager and I drove through these signs that said Arret. A-R-R-E-T, like five in a row. No idea. Got pulled over by a Montreal cop. He's like, what are you doing? I guess that, you know what that means from your years of French. Stop.
Stop.
Yeah, I did. They had different shape sizes. They were red, but they weren't like the same size as America. So I had no idea. I read.
We'll take a break. We'll check in with the Cowboys coming up, get to phone calls. Did we settle on a new poll question?
No, I will pitch it to you after the break.
Okay, all right. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. RockAuto.com, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com, family business. They founded the company back in 1999 and was founded by automotive engineers. So they know what they're talking about. They had two goals in mind when they started. Give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making the parts affordable, they offer reliably low prices. RockAuto.com not only has the parts you need, but will also give you a choice of brands, prices, features. And, you know, maybe you're looking at a certain engine for a certain car, a certain battery, and you'll be able to find this. Like if you're looking for Mopar for Dodge, or you're looking for AC Delco part brands, Chevy. You know, that's really important. Why waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines? Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. You'll see the box there that and says, how did you hear about us? Just write Dan Patrick Show, so they know that we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. All right, McLovin, what's the new poll question for this hour? McLovin, what's the poll question?
Okay, who is most likely to miss the playoffs, the Cowboys or Steelers?
Wow, we're going.
That's a Pauly special. He's arguing it's not negative.
You know, we're going dark early here, it feels like. Yes, Pauly?
It's a bit negative, but if either of these teams miss the playoffs, the fallout is pretty major. You'd have a new quarterback with the Steelers, I would think.
Yeah.
And you'd have probably at least a new coach with the Cowboys if they miss the playoffs.
Although Jerry Jones is pretty lenient when it comes to, you know, he kept Jason Garrett there a long time. Now, he really liked Jason Garrett, but I don't know what his relationship is with Mike McCarthy, but yeah, I could see that if something happened, if the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs, would Mike McCarthy's job be in jeopardy? It feels like that timetable for Jerry Jones is sped up. Like he knows it's been a long time, and at his age, you know, I want to win another Super Bowl here. Babe Laufenberg, 26 years working the Cowboys Radio Network as an analyst, the former NFL quarterback back on the show. Babe, good morning. How are you?
Dan, I'm doing great. And very quickly, you know, you've got your biggest fan and my nephew, Kyle, who lives in Orange County and California and never misses a show. And he has eaten dinner with Troy Aikman, with Daryl Johnston, with Jason Garrett. It means nothing to him. But well, this means everything to him. No credibility for any of that, but all of a sudden, oh, you go on, Dan.
Well, I'm glad to help your street cred there, Babe.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
All right. Pauly, give the poll question to Babe.
Which team is more likely to miss the playoffs, the Steelers or the Cowboys?
To miss the playoffs. That's a heck of a question there. I'm going to say the Steelers, only because of the division they play in, where Cleveland is obviously no longer a win. Cincinnati should be better with Joe Burrow, and then you got Baltimore, who's always good. And they have literally the most difficult schedule in the NFL this year, if you base it, which is all we can do, on last year's teams. And as we all know, the NFC East is so weak. And I think the Cowboys' offense is going to be good enough to carry them. So I'm going to say if one of them misses, it would be Pittsburgh, but I wouldn't bet on that.
What would the fallout be if Dallas doesn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I was listening to the question about McCarthy's job security, and you're exactly right. The Cowboys owner, he's actually pretty loyal to his coaches, and he will always tell you that one of his biggest regrets is firing Chan Gailey after 2 years, and Chan Gailey actually made the playoffs. I think it all depends on how they miss the playoffs. Of course, we're in a 17-game schedule now. If they're 10-7 and for whatever reason that isn't good enough to get you in, or they have an inordinate amount of injuries like they did last year again, I think you always have to factor in, are you playing without your quarterback? I think all those things factor in. But, you know, there's no question they did not sign Mike McCarthy up for a 6-10 season last year.
When did things go sideways or south with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson?
Wow. You know, I always felt like the spotlight is so big in Dallas, and it really is, as you well know. This isn't a small market team. They are the most visible team, maybe in all of sports. And so the spotlight is big. So there's plenty of spotlight to go on Jimmy, on the Cowboys owner, on Troy, on Emmett, on Michael, on Dion. That spotlight was so big. So that's the thing that always surprised me. But I think the other thing too, Dan, is when they first united in 1989 and Jerry hired Jimmy to be his head coach, the whole narrative was these guys were best friends in college. They roomed together. They went out together. And then when the breakup came, it was, well, they only roomed together because it was alphabetical, Jones and Johnson. So 1 minute, again, they were best friends, and the next minute they just happened to be thrown in the same room. But I couldn't tell you exactly, but clearly they each wanted credit for the wins and for the Super Bowls.
Well, who deserved the most credit out of those two?
Well, I think it was, I truly believe this, it was one of those rare partnerships. And I always look at the Beatles, right? Big music fan. They were not, George Harrison was not the best guitar player in the world. Paul McCartney was not the best bass player, go on and on. Ringo Starr wasn't the best drummer. But those four guys together did something that was magical. And when they split up, well, they all did good work. They never did the work that they did while they were together. So I really see that union of Jimmy and Jerry just being a perfect storm. And I think they both had something to prove. Jerry was viewed as this hit coming in from Arkansas, taking over the Cowboys. He fired Tom Landry. Jimmy Johnson was a college coach. And what's interesting, too, you look at this weekend through the Cowboys lens, okay, which is kind of what I do as a Cowboys broadcaster. Who would have thought the three guys going in from the Cowboys organization, right? Drew Pearson, Cliff Harris, and Jimmy Johnson. At the start, Drew, in 1970, went undrafted in a draft that had 17 rounds. Wow. Cliff Harris went undrafted in 1973, again, in a draft that had 17 rounds. And Jimmy's first year, he goes 1-15. So if anybody, after looking at those guys through a training camp or their first year in professional football, pointed at him and said, hey, there walks a Hall of Famer, you would have been laughed at, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But here they are. I actually asked Mike McCarthy that question this past week. I was in Cowboys camp at Oxnard, California, where they train. And I said, hey, these two players were both undrafted free agents. I said, when you look out at the field here, when you go out to practice today, can you point out a free agent and say, there's a Hall of Famer?
Let alone two of them. Yeah.
Well, my goodness, it's just crazy. And it almost goes to, you wonder, how the hell did Gil Brandt get into the Hall of Fame when he was a guy in charge and he drafted neither of those players?
We're talking to Babe Laufenberg, 26 years working with the Cowboys Radio Network as a color analyst, former NFL quarterback. Speaking of which, your biggest concern for Dak Prescott this year is what?
Just stay healthy. And obviously he has a shoulder injury, a strain, in training camp, I'm not concerned because they're not concerned, truly. I know many times they send up a smoke screen of non-concern about different injuries, and then you find out the guy's out for the year. That won't happen in this case. I mean, he has so many weapons. CeeDee Lamb is going to be just a great player in this league. He had a really, really good rookie season, caught 74 balls, but this is going to be a big-time player. You've got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. You got Zeke Elliott, who I think much like Mark Twain, reports of his death have been greatly exaggerated. He's a heck of a back, and he came to camp. He weighed 218, which is lighter than he's ever been. Maybe a little too light, quite honestly, in my book, because he's a big, powerful man.
But what about the defense, though?
Put some points up. Yeah, they were literally historically bad last year. I always like the Bob Dylan line, just when you think things have gotten as bad as they can, they get a little worse. And so people say, well, it can't be as bad as last year. And I always say, well, why not? There's no rule that says, okay, if you were really, really bad, you will not be worse. But they did try to address it, obviously, in the draft. First six draft picks were on defense. And so they should be better. It appears they brought in some pretty good veteran guys that are going to shore things up a little bit. They should be better. But there are no guarantees, as you well know. But I do think this, the offense is going to carry this team. If the defense can just be average, they're going to win a lot of games.
Well, it's like the Kansas City Chiefs created this model that they're just going to score all these points, and then you just ask your defense to come up with a couple of big stops. And that's what they did in the Super Bowl they won. Chris Jones came up with a couple of big plays, and that's it. I mean, you can score in the NFL, but everybody scores. Really what separates it, feels like, babe, is the team that does. You know, Tampa won the Super Bowl because of their defense, not because of their offense.
Well, I'll say this, though. Now, the last five Super Bowl winners have all had top five scoring offenses. So you've got to be able to score points in today's NFL. And obviously, they make it easy for you to score. I don't want to say easy. It wouldn't be easy if I was out there. But they've made it a lot easier that, the days of, winning games 13-6, those are gone. So you got to be able to score points. I even saw Nick Saban, was listening to him, and he talked about the fact that the one year they gave up 9.9 points a game. They allowed 63 rushing yards a game. He said, I was always play defense, run the ball. And he said once they started throwing around, they started winning more games and winning by bigger margins. So if Nick Saban can change his philosophy, if you will. Now, obviously, he still wants to play defense, and they've got about 10 first-rounders over there this year probably to do it with. But, it's just that's just the way the game has evolved and become. And, again, a lot of the rule changes, as we well know, are all geared to offense. And you're keeping quarterbacks around longer because you can't hit them. Ben Roethlisberger tonight, I mean, he won't play tonight, but, 18 years in the league and thinking about playing next year. So we see the longevity of these guys really lasting because they're not taking the beating that they once did.
Before I let you go, when you were at Stanford and you got there, I think the year before John Elway. So Elway comes in.
Correct.
When did you know your days were numbered as a quarterback at Stanford when Elway showed up?
I think it was the second half hour of the first practice when he got there.
And so the first half hour was okay. It was the second half hour.
I was competing. Yeah, but all we did then was stretch. We were doing some stretching and some drills. And actually, interestingly enough, I played against John Elway in high school, so I knew how good he was. And, of course, you think you're going to compete. But he was pretty good. And the one good thing about that, Dan, when I left Stanford, of course, immediately people think, oh, you flunked out. I said, no. But I always tell people, look, if I was smart enough to get into Stanford, I was also smart enough to know when to leave. And when Elway showed up, I said, this doesn't look so good for the Bambino here.
How would you describe him for those who didn't see him when he came in at 18, 19 years of age?
He had the same arm that you saw as an NFL player. And again, I actually saw it in high school. What I think is funny is some of these guys have really smooth motions, right? And the ball just kind of said, wow, where do they generate that power? Every time he threw, I swear it looked like he was going to tear his rotator cuff. You can just picture him, can't you?
Yeah.
In the pocket, on his toes, chin up, and then he just ripped the ball. But never forget, too, like two practices in, a guy ran a hook route at about 12 yards and literally just tore the receiver's finger straight off, straight back, bone out.
Oh, wow.
At first I thought, you know, guys really like to catch my ball when I was there and we were competing at Stanford there. And then I realized, you know what, they really just don't like to catch John's because it comes in about 100 miles an hour. Mine, you know, I always like it when they say this guy throws a catchable ball. It means he's got a weak arm, right? And many times the problem is it's catchable for the defense just as easily as for the offense.
Have fun tonight, babe. I'd love to check in with you during the season, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Babe Laufenberg, 26 years working with the Cowboys as their color analyst on radio. Yeah, Paul.
That's got to be tough. You're like a good college quarterback. Babe Laufenberg, you're at Stanford. Nice team. Remember Kelly Bryant, the guy at Clemson? He's sitting there rolling at Clemson, and all of a sudden here comes Trevor Lawrence. You're like, oh, man. I'm out of here. Yeah. I got to get up out of here.
And all you want to do is you're like, hey, I'm going to compete. I want to compete. And then all of a sudden you see what they can do and what you can't do. And you go, you know, I'm probably going to take my talents to Missouri. Or in Babe's case, take my talents to Indiana. Yeah, Seton.
Right, because you're walking out on practice that first day like, all right, new guy. Okay, let's see. Yeah. All right, yeah, this is my team. And then, yeah, halfway through the first practice, like, oh, crap.
That's what stood out on Hard Knocks with Justin Herbert. Because, you know, when the rookie gets there and you're like, okay, hot shot. And then you have the players who stop to watch him throw. And I went, oh, boy. They started making, like, you know, noises and whistling. And if you're Justin Herbert, you got to be empowered by that. Like, these veterans are watching. And it was fascinating. It was just like a small sample size of training camp. But you saw these players just watch him throw the football. There's no defense. He was throwing into a net, and they're just watching. And that's when you go, we got ourselves a quarterback. We'll take a break. We'll come back, more phone calls, and we'll check in with the Dodgers after Max Scherzer's performance last night. And bring back what Joey Votto had to say, the Reds' first baseman, that maybe we need to stop booing the Astros. Well, everybody but the Dodger fans. We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We try not to deal with rumor and innuendo, but sometimes you can't avoid it. If you're an Eagles fan, you're like, hey, things starting to heat up. There was a report, I think, by CBS Sports that NFL reporter said things are heating up with the Eagles looking to trade for Deshaun Watson. And I think the verbiage was still some hurdles to overcome. These are mountains to overcome, not hurdles. Because you don't know what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson. But if things are starting to heat up, I don't know exactly what that means. That you're placing a call? You've had correspondence? Has an offer been made? Mike Florio shot this down. It's like when Russell Wilson said, hey, here's my four teams I'd be interested in. Cowboys, Bears. Bears fans were like, we're getting Russell Wilson. It's like, no, you're not. If they want to trade me, which they're not, but if they do, then these are places that I would want to go. Do I think Deshaun Watson is on the verge of being traded? I don't, because it's a great unknown. You know, the Eagles were trying to sell us on Jalen Hurts. Hey, we have to get rid of Carson Wentz, and we're all in on Jalen Hurts. No, they're not. They're not. And there's no reason to be all in on Jalen Hurts. It's a small sample size. You know, he barely completed 50% of his passes. Now, do I think that he can play in the NFL? Yes. But do I think he's a starting quarterback right now? I don't. I enjoyed watching him because he was fascinating. He made some athletic plays. I just don't know if he's ready. He's being rushed into this starting job. And the expectation level in Philadelphia is, you know, win. You're not going to be, we're rebuilding. I mean, they went through the process with the Sixers. They don't go through a process with the Eagles. They expect to win. But you got a new coach in there. Does that new coach like Jalen Hurts? Can you get Deshaun Watson? What's it going to take? Can you get him at a bargain basement price now if you take a chance on him? Don't know. He's not going to be deposed in these civil lawsuits until February. Is the NFL going to suspend him? If, when, how long? There's just too many moving parts here to say that things are heating up. I'd have to know a little bit more of what constitutes things are heating up. If they start talking, does that mean they're heated up or they've been corresponding? I still keep an eye. There's a couple of teams, though. Carolina is still a team. Denver is going to go, are we getting Aaron Rodgers? And at some point you have to go, if we're not, then let's go after Deshaun Watson. There's three or four teams, maybe more, that are, you know, the Dolphins, just monitoring everything. And that's all you can do because you can't go, all right, let's pull the trigger on this. Yeah, Paul.
The one thing for the Eagles that people are saying does make sense is they do have a little bit of draft capital to play with this year. They have their own first-round pick. They have the Dolphins' first-round pick. They have their own second. They have a second from the Colts in the Carson Wentz trade that can become a first if Carson Wentz played 75% of the snaps, which looks unlikely. But they have two ones and two twos in the upcoming draft.
Yeah. But I don't know what – unless you say let's just forego this season. And plus, do the Texans want Jalen Hurts in return? What can you make this deal, still keep Jalen Hurts in there, and Deshaun Watson doesn't play for you this year? Or there's that chance. Like, would you do that? Like, the Brooklyn Nets took Kevin Durant off the Achilles injury, knowing that he wasn't going to play. Now, this isn't, you know, sexual assault lawsuits here. But it is, we're taking you, and we know you're not going to play that first year. Can you do that if you're Philadelphia? And if you bite the bullet and you say, hey, we're going to do it. We don't have to give up as much. We're going to take a chance on him. Maybe he does. You go into that trade going, he's not going to play for us this year. If you go into it with that mindset, then, okay, pull the trigger on it. I don't know how many draft picks you have to give up. Texans, you know the Texans have to get rid of him. You can sell us on Jalen Hurts. Hey, that's our quarterback. Well, of course you're going to say that. It's like you love your girlfriend until that other girlfriend becomes available, that, you know, other girl, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've moved on. Hey, I love Jalen Hurts. He's our quarterback. Okay, of course, that's what you're going to say. But if Deshaun Watson's available, is Jalen Hurts still your quarterback? And the answer is no. They'll go after him. Yeah, McClub.
The thing they're selling Jalen Hurts on is he's like a real leader of men type. Like, he's an intangible guy. He lost his job to Tua, but he was a great teammate. Then he earned his way back in Oklahoma. You can't count him out. Like, that kind of makes me nervous as a fan. Like,
but McLovin, I love tangibles.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. Like,
when you say
it's completion percentage, that made me nervous.
Hey, his intangibles. I like tangibles. Not, hey, he's a good clubhouse guy. Good, okay. You know who's a great leader? The guy who can throw those passes and you know, perform in a big moment, like, you know, I'll follow him too. He seems like a good clubhouse guy too. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he's not a good teammate. And all of a sudden, you know, he becomes the MVP. He's a great teammate. Well, what changed? He was great on the field. Yeah, McLovin.
But there is something about, there's something about leadership and quarterback. Everybody plays better when Tom Brady's there. I don't know why or how, but isn't that like a thing?
I don't know if it's, you can be a great leader, but it feels like, what are you putting your words into action? That always helps. Because I remember having a boss at ESPN. He could give one of the most dynamic speeches ever. ever. But he didn't follow up on anything that he said. But when he said it, you were like, yes, all right, this guy, he gets me, you know. And then I realized he's not going to follow through on any of this stuff. So you can be the leader. I want to know what you do when there's live bullets, when you're playing, when it's a big game. That's when you're a leader to me. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, like if I'm a teammate, I look up to my quarterback's ability to complete the pass, and then everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady's abilities are what makes him a leader. The fact that he can win, not so much so that, you know, he's a great guy.
There was an article written by Charles Robinson, who was a great NFL writer, and he was talking about that, you know, this is Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay, and the teams, there's five teams that Aaron is auditioning for. One would be Denver. One would be the Washington football team. One would be the Eagles. One would be the Steelers. And the other one would be Carolina. Okay. That's a little juicy. Do I think it would be... See, Carolina has always been one of those nobody talks about, and they do have Sam Darnold. The Washington football team is a very good quarterback away from being a really good team, in my opinion. It's not a tough division, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, it just feels like he's been that bridge quarterback for his entire career. And, you know, God bless him. He's survived. He's played well. He's like NFL Player of the Week in September. Feels like every year he is the NFL Quarterback of the Week. And then after that, it's hit or miss with him. But could I see Aaron Rodgers in Denver? Yes. And you got Teddy Bridgewater in there. And there's a chance, and this is going to sound crazy. Teddy Bridgewater could be the starter instead of Drew Locke. Remember, Drew Locke was going to make the big jump. You had analysts saying this is the year, and he might not even win that job. It's a good defense in Denver. But you got to, I mean, they really haven't resolved their quarterbacking situation since 2015. Feels like it's been a state of flux. But if you could get Aaron Rodgers or you could get Deshaun Watson, it's just, what do you have to give up? I mean, that's really the key. Let's see. Frep in Virginia joining us on the program. Hey, Frep.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Danettes. So I got two things. I'm going to Times Square this weekend. I wanted to figure out the best place to get some food.
Not in Times Square.
Well, I mean, close to it. And then, okay. So my great mother-in-law bought me a portable charcoal and smoker, portable charcoal gas. God dang, I'm flipping out. So it's a portable gas smoker. And I wanted to know, what's the first thing, if it was yours, would you smoke or grill on it? Unfortunately, it's not a Traeger.
Well, good luck on your trip there, Fred. And don't eat in Times Square. Go down to Soho, Chelsea, the Village. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, don't go to the Applebee's in Times Square.
Yeah, you go all that way. You go, where'd you eat? Applebee's? Sbarro? Bubba Gump?
What's wrong with that?
Sorry. You're right, Todd. My bad. Final hour in the On Deck Circle coming up. Check in with the Dodgers. Their great voice, Charlie Steiner, will stop by. More phone calls as well. 2 hours in the books, one more to go.